Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of this day, for the beauty of your presence with each one, for your manifold wisdom and bountiful love you share with us each passing day. Open our eyes, Lord, tune our ears today, soften our hearts and sharpen our minds to hear and understand what you have for us each one today as we study your word. In his name, amen. Well, turn with me to our key Bible reference today, and that's found in chapter 3 of Ephesians. And in my study Bible, there's three sections. I smiled when I studied this. There's about five sentences in the whole chapter and three sections. So Paul is a wonderful writer, and he was gifted by the presence of God to write. But his sentences are long. So we're going to look at some of those today. So my study Bible is divided into three sections. The mystery revealed. What is the mystery? The mystery revealed. Second section is the purpose of the mystery. And the third section is the appreciation of the mystery. Well, can you guess what this mystery that Paul is referring to? What is that? The revelation of Jesus, okay. And he's got a specific theme going on here. Do you know what that might be? Grace, the gift of God's grace. So the first clue is in verse 1 of chapter 3. So let's take a look. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Paul calls himself what? A prisoner. A prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. He is doing this by his own choice. It was a choice that he made. Well, when I think about that, I think about self-image or self-worth. It may be a challenge, or is it? There is much written today, especially in modern self-help books, about the importance of maintaining a positive self-image and to keep a positive sense of self-worth and how self-esteem is vital in each person's life. Did you catch a little theme there? Self? Okay. Well, what do you think about Paul's self-image? A prisoner of Christ. Would you identify yourself as a prisoner of Christ? Would I? As I thought about that this week and how this gives us such a reference to how God sees us, I was reminded of a very popular Christian song a few years back. You still might hear it on some Christian radio stations. It's by Lauren Daigle, and the title of the song is You Say. Perhaps you've heard it. The lyric she sings goes like this, and see if you can relate. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I am not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. And in you, I find my worth. In you, I find my identity. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I'm falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say that I am yours. And I believe. What you say of me, I believe. In Jesus, we find our worth. In Jesus, we find our identity. Before God was converted on the road to Damascus, he was Saul. Do you remember the story? And I'm sure he was quite concerned about what other people thought of him. He had quite a reputation to uphold, the persecutor of anyone who calls himself Christian. Well, in this letter, he now refers himself as Paul, a prisoner of Christ, who owes his very life to and in this world, to Christ in this world and the next. For some background on this critical point, and to help us understand the main focus today, let's continue with Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read beginning with verse 3. Verse 3. Well, let's start with 1 because we're starting in the middle of a sentence. So let's go with 1, 2, 3. Okay? For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he, God, made it known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. Verse 4, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by who? By the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. I'm going to stop right there. So let's unpack this a little bit. What did we hear in the word of the Lord? Verse 3, our Heavenly Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Imagine that, every blessing in Christ. Does God love us? He loves us with all of his heart, right? Does he want the very best for us? He does, day by day, hour by hour. Remember that, we need to remember that when our own self-esteem hits rock bottom. Remember God's perspective of us. Verse 4, our Heavenly Father has chosen us. I have been chosen. Each one of you have been chosen. When did that all happen? What did happen? Did he choose us yesterday? No, he didn't. Oh, that's not what he's telling us here. Before the foundation of the world, you were on God's mind before this world was made. Put that, try to get our head around that. And that's been quite a long time ago, right? And if you believe this, and I hope you do, our Father in heaven has been thinking about us for a very, very, very long time. As Jeremiah 29 says, our God has plans for us, each of us, plans for good, not for evil. Please do not let anyone ever tell you otherwise. Verses 5 and 6, our Heavenly Father has predestined, has chosen us from the beginning, predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters of God by Jesus Christ himself. Here is the hint to the great mystery. Now, I'm just wondering, how many of you here today are adopted? Just how many are adopted? I see one hand. I see two hands. Maybe all of us should raise our hand, because didn't that verse just say that we are adopted sons and daughters of God? Amen. I love to be a part of that family. And I am. Not because of anything I've done, but because of everything God has done for us. Well, how does God see you? As one of his children, according to his good pleasure. These verses 5 and 6 talk about self-worth. Well, what is the purpose? Don't miss this. Our purpose is to praise the glory of what? Of his grace. To praise to the glory of his grace. That was another hint of the mystery. By which he did what? He made us accepted by who? He made us accepted in verse 6 by the beloved. We are accepted by capital B, God himself, the beloved. Do you have an opportunity to become accepted by the beloved? The beloved is Jesus Christ, and that's a choice that he gives each one of us an opportunity to make. So let's continue with a few more verses. Verse 7. Of that section, in verse 6, that we should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. the mystery of the Godhead. Jesus has rescued us. He has redeemed us through his blood. He has restored us. He has forgiven us of our sins. According to what? According to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us. Another question, do you personally feel the fullness of God's grace in abundance? That's what Paul is trying to communicate that to us. God gives us an abundance of his grace. Well, verse 9. Let's take a look at verse 9. Let's continue from there. Verse 9 to 12. This is, let's pick it up at verse 8. So the first section is, so the mystery is revealed. Now it's the purpose of the mystery. Paul says, to me, who I am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, in Jesus, we have what? We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Through faith in him. Well, verse 9 talks about the mystery of God's will. The mystery includes this amazing grace. Then in verse 11, in Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance. You like that? We've obtained an inheritance that is out of this world, literally, out of this world. Think of that, the inheritance of our Heavenly Father. The purpose of God, who works all things according to his will. That's good news, right? Very good news. Verse 12 includes a choice. This is all available if and only if we choose to trust God to the praise of whose glory? God's glory. If we choose to trust God to the praise of his glory, we choose Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Redeemer, we have an opportunity to be adopted into the family of God. We have an opportunity to receive this inheritance that God is pointing out through his servant Paul. So, God's grace is part of this mystery of his will. So how do you define God's grace? Well, here's one suggestion. Grace is true, unmerited, and undeserved gift from God. It is a true, unmerited, undeserved gift from God. The biblical definition also includes of grace, it's goodwill, it's loving kindness, it's favor from God. So grace is not something that you can buy or invent or earn, okay? Here are a few examples. For example, the doctor told you 30 years ago that you had 5 years to live. Well, you're still here. According to the doctor, you did not deserve to live the last 25 years, yet you've probably outlived the doctor, right? So God's mystery of his grace is not according to our plans and our will and our thinking. It's beyond that. Another example, a college student with low grades and no money does not deserve to be accepted into the prestigious university. Yet, the student gets the acceptance letter, and not only did they receive the letter, but it was with full tuition paid. Student didn't deserve it, but the student got it. So you're getting this idea that grace is something we do not deserve, but it's a gift from God. Even in the little things of life, a police officer pulls you over and he tells you he'll be right back with your ticket. He comes back and he tells you to go on now and please do not run a stop sign again. He didn't deserve to go free, but you did. So before we head back to Ephesians chapter 3, let's stop briefly at Ephesians 2, verse 8. So let's jump back to Ephesians 2, verse 8 for just a moment. And let's see what this verse says about grace. And maybe you can help me out. Maybe you know this one. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is what? It is the gift of God. So grace is a gift of God. And faith is a gift of God. Grace and faith work together as part of this mystery. Okay, so let's look at the mystery revealed. The mystery revealed back in chapter 3. And let's take a look at some key verses that we've read in verses 1 through 7. You notice in verse 5, in past ages, this mystery had not been revealed. So Paul is saying in years past, it hasn't been revealed. But now in Paul's timing, it points to Christ's ministry here on this earth. This mystery has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit and by the apostles and by the prophets. What does the mystery consist of? It's God's grace, as we have discovered. But it also is God's character as revealed in Jesus Christ. The mystery also reveals additional heirs to God's grace. Verse 6, who should be fellow heirs and partakers of God's promise in Christ through the gospel? That's right, it's the Gentiles. What? Paul was the Jew of Jews, right? When he was Saul, he persecuted the Christians. And now he's Paul, the servant of Christ. But he's telling the folks here at the Church of Ephesus, and this may be quite a mystery to his audience, but he says, God's promise through Christ to be fellow heirs and partakers goes to the Gentiles as well. Well, that would be a mystery for sure to the Hebrew nation. Notice also who Paul calls the minister to the Gentiles. Paul himself. So the gift of salvation, the gospel of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, Paul is saying is an open to all. That's the message that God is also giving as part of this mystery. So remember, Jesus said to go, make disciples, baptize, and teach them in all of Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. That is our calling as Christ followers today. That's our calling as well. So purpose of the mystery. Let's take a look at verses 8 to 13, the mysteries of the purpose of the mystery. Again, it's 8 through 12 is one sentence, so fasten your seatbelts. Read along with me if you have access to your Bible. To me, to Paul, who am less than the least of all the saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what Elder Lee was talking about. He went to his death to save us from sins. So according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Through faith in him. So verse 10, what is the intent or the purpose of the mystery revealed? The purpose or the intent is that God's wisdom might be made known to us by the church to who? To To who? The principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You catch that in that long sentence? What is God saying here? What can the church, what can you and me teach heavenly beings about God? Imagine yourself teaching a heavenly being about who God is through your experience. 1 Peter 1:12 says that what God has made known to the church regarding the manifold wisdom of God will be lessons shared with the angels. Imagine teaching the angels the mystery of God's will and his grace and his love, which he has revealed to us. So, appreciation of the mystery, the final section there. And let's read verses 14 to 19. 14 to 19. Another long sentence, okay? Paul writes in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." It's our scripture reading for the day. Verse 14. How does Paul suggest we show appreciation of this mystery of God? On our knees. Exactly, Tarlene. We pray. We ask for the Holy Spirit to give us strength. Invite Christ to live in our lives, to dwell in our hearts, to ground us in God's love. To ask that we may know God, to begin to grasp this mystery for the purpose of sharing it with others. Isn't that what God has called us to do? Consider how Jesus invited his disciples to connect with this mystery. He asked them, he invited them to follow him. Seems so simple, yet profound. In John chapter 1, Jesus calls his first disciples, Andrew and John, with John the Baptist, when John the Baptist said of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Andrew and John asked Jesus where he was staying. Jesus said, well, what did he say? Come and see. Come and see. So the two of them spent time with Jesus. After spending time with Jesus, Andrew went immediately to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought his brother to Jesus. That's how this gospel message spread from the very beginning. So I'd like you to, this week, think of five people, five names that you can pray for over the next couple weeks. And you can jot them down in your bulletin. If you have a good memory, you can list them in your mind. For me, I have to put a note on my phone. I actually have a prayer list on my phone, but think of five people you can pray over the next few weeks. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's someone you don't yet know. So write their names down, record their names, and commit to pray for them daily. You realize the relational evangelism that we've talked about, the home visits that some of you might be involved with, the outreach efforts for the ministries here at Stone Tower all depend upon prayer. Let's follow Paul's example and bow to our knees and pray to the triune God that his work continues in us, transforming our lives and through us reach others with a gospel invitation. So today we've looked at our self-worth, our self-esteem, self-image through the eyes of our Redeemer. We are told to look upon others as Jesus looked upon us. So a challenge that I've offered before is each time you look at a person, you can see the person, but look for Jesus, because you were looking at a person, an adopted son or daughter of God. So take a look at and make sure that you see Jesus, and that would be the basis of your interaction with them. So we've barely touched the mystery of God's will, and it's something we probably will be studying eternally, but we've barely touched God's will, God's grace, God's love that he's shown each one of us. And this invitation to discover this mystery is an invitation to all. The Hebrew nation, the Jews, the Gentiles, everyone. Okay? We've been challenged to pray for others, to pray for the work, to make prayer the work. I want you to catch that, because that's the first and foremost thing that we can do, is we can pray. So we're chosen. We're adopted, inviting us to be holy by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, showing us his wisdom and his will in ways that have never been before displayed. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has taken the first step, even before the foundation of the world, to show us his love. How then should we respond? What shall we do? Renew our lives daily in Christ, committing our lives daily to obey him, to love him, to live for him, and turn to his word often and pray. I invite you to bow your heads now and pray with me. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for making us what you want us to be, sons and daughters of God. May we be willing and make that choice to be open to your presence in our lives. Empower us, each one today, with the Holy Spirit, so that we may be equipped to do your will and to do your work, so no one, not one, will miss a chance to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe." In Jesus' name, amen.